an SOS from CIT.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Bad news from CIT. The lending giant says this morning that the U.S. government won't give it any more money. CIT is a source of funding for thousands of small and mid-sized businesses, and it says it's desperate. Mitchell Hartman has more.
CIT has given its current debt holders 24 hours to come up with $2 billion in emergency financing, or else. The or else is probably a trip to bankruptcy court. CIT has been trying without success to negotiate a government assistance package that would be on top of the $2.3 billion it got from the TARP bank bailout program. Chances are taxpayers are out that money if CIT goes under. The FDIC and Treasury are concerned CIT doesn't have a viable business plan, but regulators have apparently concluded it's not too big to fail and doesn't pose systemic risk to the financial system. CIT has more than 1 million customers. It provides credit lines that allow businesses to float their current operations. In the past few days, businesses have been drawing down those credit lines, fearing that CIT might go bankrupt, creating a run on the bank. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
If CIT does go bankrupt, it would be the largest financial firm that the U.S. government has allowed to fail since Lehman Brothers. There is some good news this morning, though, from J.P. Morgan Chase. The financial giant announced profits jumped 36% last quarter. That's its first increase in nearly 2 years, and the markets are liking that. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 0.2% to 8,632. The NASDAQ up 0.1% to 1,865. And the S&P 500 basically flat at 931. Former Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson is on Capitol Hill this morning. He's defending some of the actions he took early on in the economic crisis, like telling Bank of America's CEO that he could lose his job if B of A didn't play ball and buy floundering brokerage Merrill Lynch. Paulson told lawmakers he was right in going to the mattresses on that one, that the Merrill B of A marriage benefited shareholders in both companies.
Some have opined that I and other government officials allowed concerns about systemic risk to outweigh concerns about potential harm to Bank of America and its shareholders. That simply did not happen. In my view, and the view of numerous government officials working on the matter, the interests of the nation and Bank of America were aligned with respect to the closing of the Merrill Lynch transaction.
The government pumped $20 billion into Bank of America to seal that Merrill Lynch deal.
American Public Media presents the Marketplace Whiteboard, videos unwrapping the basics of the financial crisis. You can watch them anytime at marketplace.org.
Some promising news on the job front this morning. The number of people filing for unemployment benefits fell last week to its lowest level since January. The jobless rate in this country, though, is still expected to hit 10% this year. So not surprising that a record number of job seekers is expected at the annual job fair in Washington today. Federal agencies will be interviewing for everything from CIA agents to Smithsonian Museum administrators. John Dimsdale has more.
There are three times as many RSVPs for this year's jobs fair. It's sponsored by the nonprofit Partnership for Public Service, whose president Max Steyer predicts the federal government will hire 600,000 people over the next 4 years. But he says the interest this year is more than just the availability of jobs.
Government right now is more real and important in the public's mind than it's been at least for a couple of generations. Whether it's solving the financial crisis or the two wars and you name it, that makes people interested.
Melody Gilbert is one of those people. She just earned her psychology degree from the University of Washington and hopes to land a job with the Department of Veterans Affairs.
There is an absolute new life breathed into Washington, and the atmosphere and people's expectations of federal work is completely changing.
Gilbert is attracted by the government benefits that will help pay off her student loans and by the upward mobility created in part by the coming wave of baby boomer retirements. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
This morning, China reported its economy grew nearly 8% in the last 3 months. That's thanks in large part to mega stimulus from China's state-controlled banking system. But there's a lot of debate over how real that growth is. From Shanghai, Marketplace's Scott Tong reports.
In this corner, Beijing hedge fund advisor Bill McCahill.
China has a very resilient economy and is doing really quite well.
McCahill is with the research firm JLM Pacific Epoch. He sees a genuine recovery sparked by China's $600 billion stimulus. The package focuses on infrastructure work, like laying 13,000 miles of new rail track, triple the length of the U.S. Transcontinental Railroad.
These big construction projects, particularly railways and railway equipment, have now begun to kick in. And as one travels around China, this is very, very apparent.
These mega projects need raw materials like iron ore, so China's binging on commodities and stoking up the prices. In the other corner stands Michael Pettis, finance professor. He's more skeptical.
That movie has never turned out with a happy ending.
Pettis teaches at the prestigious Tsinghua University. He warns that most of the stimulus takes the form of bank lending, and too loose credit can lead to substandard loans that go bad. Heard that before?
And I don't think I can find a single instance in history in which you've had a massive expansion in the banking system, which didn't result in a huge increase in bad lending.
The bulls and the bears also spar over Chinese consumption. Bill McCahill notes retail spending in China keeps growing by double digits, and that more cars these days sell in China than in the U.S.
China's a vast continental economy with pent-up demand that can go on for decades, really.
But how much demand is there? Michael Pettis has his doubts.
Total consumption in China is not much greater than total consumption in France. It's just not big enough. U.S. consumers account for six Chinas.
Watching this fight are global investors. Pettis fears they're hyping the China is back story. Maybe so. But this morning's impressive growth figures score at least 1 point for the bulls. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Thanks for joining us.
American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.